Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you could come by this morning. We are going to have our normal Bullies to Buddy Day today, but I want to include one of the stories that we talked about yesterday, the young boy in Mexico who was slammed into a wall by some of his peers in a, bully gone violent kind of an episode. There was a lot of discussion yesterday on the show in regard to the fact that we're trying to get everybody to understand that once it turns to that kind of violence where somebody's life is in jeopardy, somebody's welfare, their health, their well-being, it's no longer bullying. It is now a criminal offense. And, of course, for this young man, I would think, I've not read anything about this yet. I do have something to share with you all, though, this morning about it. It should be a felony. Even though it was not done with intent, neither are car accidents in a lot of cases, and people still, have to pay for taking another life. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk a little bit from the workbook and bring into play the story of the young man who took the lives of a whole bunch of other teenagers. Actually, I think he killed six and wounded a few others. And gunfire between him and the police, but he got away, and then they found him deceased, apparently by his own hand, in his vehicle. But here's a young man who screamed out for help, did YouTube videos, did all kinds of things, and apparently even his parents tried to get him some help, and nobody listened. That, for me, even though both stories are horrific, is the saddest one, because he was trying to get people to pay attention. You know, when something like that's going on in your head, are you sure that you will always know what kind of help to ask for? Are you sure that you'll always know how to articulate what's going on in your head? I'm not sure you can. I'm not sure you're at a place where you make a lot of sense to other people, even your parents, even your best friend. It's up to those of us listening to read between the lines and see what we can do to help. And apparently these parents did so, but the powers that be walked away. So we're going to talk about both of those things today. And, of course, in the workbook, we are up to the chapter that is number 9, freedom of speech. Important to gain some understanding of freedom of speech. It wasn't designed so that you could call people faggot and some of the other lovely things that we hear all the time. It was designed for something else, completely different. So we're going to talk about that and include these two stories. But I want everybody to know that on Thursday, we're going to come back, especially to the story where the young man screamed for help and didn't get any and ended up taking six lives unnecessarily. So I'd like everybody to think about what they would do if somebody they cared about was in that much trouble and you knew it. What would you do? How would you intervene? How would you step up? How would you get help? We need to talk about these things, because when I thought about it, I thought to myself, well, you know what? His parents did everything that anybody would tell them to do. They went to the mental health association or affiliation, and they came and knock on the door and talked and didn't find anything wrong with the young man. One thing I know about imbalance. Imbalance means sometimes you're in balance, sometimes you're out of balance. imbalance is that teetering on both sides of the middle of that place that keeps you in a good place. People can fool themselves into believing that they're okay when they're balancing okay. But when they start doing things like this YouTube video made my stomach hurt, my heart hurt, I was like, oh my Lord. And it was seen by thousands of people. So let's bring Shell in and we'll talk a little bit about the young man who lost his life this past weekend after being rammed into a wall from some boys who just started out by bullying him. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Rainey.
How you doing, honey?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Did you have a nice Memorial Day?
Yeah, Nina and I were working until the wee hours, so I'm still a little sore and tired, but she's like 99.9% in. She'll be moving in permanently tonight, so it was good. It was a good day, and we were bringing her cats over later today, so she'll be officially in by tonight, so that's a good feeling.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's nice when you you reach that place where you feel like you've accomplished everything and you're where you need to be. That's a good feeling. I'm
we're leaving the other house nice that, and organized, yeah. So it's also a good feeling that we're doing things the right way and, you know, getting her over here organized and leaving the other house in good form. So.
Mhm. Mhm. Now that was a rental, right?
Yes. Mhm.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good. So. All right, so we are, you've been on most of the time that I was talking this morning. The first thing I want to share with everybody is something that Gary sent me after talking to us, emailing me yesterday or Facebooking me, however he touched base with me, in Mexico City. Mexico's president vowed Friday to launch an all-out battle against a spate of bullying in schools after a 12-year-old boy died from injuries sustained in a beating by classmates. Hector Alejandro Mendez Ramirez died of head trauma at a hospital Tuesday, 1 week after schoolmates slammed him against a wall in front of school staff in the northeastern city of Ciudad Victoria, according to the victim's family. The tragedy in Tamaulipas state made national headlines, putting a spotlight on the scourge that the education ministry says is on the rise. Hundreds of people held a demonstration in Ciudad Victoria on Wednesday, demanding justice over the boy's death. Speaking at a regional teacher training center in Tamaulipas, President Enrique Pina Nieto said he had instructed his education minister to speed up the implementation of a national anti-bullying program. Sometimes the bullying that occurs in schools reflects the violence that is experienced outside the schools, in the streets, and this is what we have to fight in a decisive way, he said, referring to the drug-related crimes plaguing Mexico. The fight against school bullying is a cause of the president of the government, and we are determined to really fight it in an all-out way. The National Human Rights Commission opened an investigation into the latest case. The commission says 40% of students reported being bullied in 2013, up from 30% in 2011. Now, again, I'm disappointed that it doesn't talk anything about what's going to happen to the boys, because as we talked about yesterday, now this is a felony, aggravated assault, whatever kind of terminology the powers that be are going to put on it. It's not just bullying. And it changes the whole scenario. And because of the demise of this young boy. I would think that charges are pending, although there isn't any talk of that. But I found it interesting that the chapter that we're on this morning in the workbook is about freedom of speech. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, just what we want to talk about. This young boy does a video on YouTube about how he's going to get even with people not, the fact that he's a virgin, that's what has him so upset. He's 21 years old and nobody's ever loved him, kissed him, hugged him, or shown him any kind of affection. And he's going to get even with everybody. And then you have this part in our workbook that talks about being able to say what you need to say and not being, ostracized for speaking your own personal truth. So it's really intertwining, isn't it? I mean, when you think about all the good things that we've done to open doors to make sure that we're better, it also lets in the things that are like, you must be kidding. It's not all right to go on YouTube and announce to everybody that you're going to kill people and have a whole bunch of people see it and nothing happen. So,
well, threats are not freedom of speech. Threats,
exactly.
Making threats is illegal, and I find it astonishing that nobody reacted to the to someone putting open threats out like that. I don't believe that it is permissible. Maybe just the right people didn't see it, or the people that saw it didn't give it any didn't give it any credence, so they didn't react to it. But giving threats is illegal.
Well, it's giving threats, but random threat. I mean, he didn't say, "I'm going to go shoot Renee Brewer." He didn't say, "I'm going to shoot my mom." He just said, "I'm going to get even." The video was on TV all day long yesterday. Every time I turned around, there was something about it on, and I thought to myself, "This is really horrible."
Now, why did he feel he needed to get even with anybody?
Why did he feel he needed to get even?
Yeah, I mean, what was his YouTube about? What did he feel people had done to him?
He talked about nobody ever caring about him, that he was 21 years old and was still a virgin, that women didn't like him, girls didn't like him, girls never paid any attention to him or offered him any kind of love or companionship or anything along those lines. So he... he did what he did to get even. So I'm gonna talk about this, and then we're gonna go to the workbook. My game plan is to enlighten everybody about this stuff, and then on Thursday after tomorrow we'll do the show about our health and talk about some things like that, but that'll give everybody time to research some of this, because I'd like to hear some feedback from parents and anybody in the school system that has any ideas, if they saw this video, what steps they would have taken. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure the people who watched it thought it was a joke. A lot of things that you see on YouTube, people do not take seriously. But it was bone-chilling. He sat in a vehicle. He was a nice-looking boy, I thought. He sat in a vehicle and talked about what he was going to do and said he was going to get even with everybody because nobody cared about him. So, but prior to this, I think, I haven't read anything yet that tells me there was a sequence of events that sent people to his home previously, or whether it was the video, but I'm gonna scan this story and share it with you, so everybody can think about it. Because I'd like some input. Because if somebody else knows, we've talked about this before. Young people act out, and if somebody's paying attention, usually that acting out is a cry for help. They're usually saying...
Somebody, you know, threatening somebody else because they're not getting affection or positive attention from them, that's really kind of parallel to these men that try to control, their girlfriends or their spouses, and they're abusive, and if the woman tries to leave them, they threaten to kill them and stuff. It's like being a sociopath. I mean, their need for attention, or their feeling of entitlement for attention is like, if they don't get it from people, there's something wrong with the people. That, you know, like the men who beat women, they think the women deserve it. They think the women, you know, did something that made them get that violent with them. You know, so for this kid to say, you know what, well, he's a man at 21, but for him to say that, that he has to get even with people because girls wouldn't go out with him, that means he's not taking responsibility for how he acted that made people not want to be around him. There was a story there's an old cliche, if the world is out of step with Johnny, maybe Johnny is out of step with the world, meaning that there are people out there that everybody they come across, there's something wrong with them. But what it is it's actually the individual who's viewing the world like that. You know, you can't come across 100 people and have something wrong with every person. If that's how you're viewing the world, that's a symptom that you need help.
Of course, honey, that's my whole point. He did this video, and this video was a major cry for help. Everything you're saying is not wrong, but it also shouts something's wrong in his world. He needs help.
Yep.
And he did, his parents realized. Let me go through this because it gives you more of a history on all of it. Sheriff's deputies who showed up to Elliot Rogers' doorstep last month to check on his mental health hadn't seen online videos in which he threatened suicide and violence, even though those recordings were what prompted his parents to call authorities. By the time law enforcement did see the videos, it was too late. The well-mannered, if shy, young man that deputies concluded after their visit posed no risk had gone on a deadly rampage on Friday. The sheriff's office was not aware of any videos until the shooting rampage occurred. Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office spokeswoman Kelly Hoover told the public. Sheriff Bill Brown has defended the officer's actions, but the case highlights the challenges that police face in assessing the mental health of adults, particularly those with no history of violent breakdowns, institutionalizations, or serious crimes. Obviously, looking back on this, it's a very tragic situation, and we certainly wish we had been able to turn back the clock and maybe change some of the things. They were on Face the Nation Sunday night. At the time deputies interacted with him, he was able to convince them that he was okay. It's not clear why the deputies did not become aware of the videos. Attorney Alan Shiftman said the Roger family had called police after being alarmed by YouTube videos regarding suicide and the killing of people that their son had been posting. Doris Fuller, executive director of the Virginia-based Treatment Advocacy Center, said, California law has provisions that permit emergency psychiatric evaluations of individuals who pose a serious threat, but that was never triggered. Rogers' family had disclosed their son was under the care of therapists. Once again, we are grieving over the deaths and devastation caused by a young man who was sending up red flags for danger that failed to produce intervention in time to avert the tragedy. In this case, the red flags were so big the killer's parents had called police, and yet the system failed. Roger, writing in a manifesto, said that he was relieved his apartment wasn't searched because deputies would have uncovered the cache of weapons he used in the beach town rampage Friday, in which he killed 6 people and then, authorities say, himself. He posted at least 22 YouTube videos. He wrote in his manifesto that he uploaded most of the videos in the week leading up to the April 26th, when he originally planned to carry out his attacks. He postponed his plan after catching a cold. Because many of the videos were removed from YouTube, then he re-added in the week leading up to the killings. It's unclear which of the videos alarmed his family or whether others were reported that were not uploaded again. In a last-minute bid to intervene, Roger's parents raced to his home Friday night after his mother saw his online threats. But the couple heard the news of a shooting on the radio as they were on the freeway. The Los Angeles Times reported this on Sunday morning. Family friend Simon Astaire told the newspaper that Elliot Rogers' mother, Shin Roger, got a call from her son's therapist shortly before the shooting started that he had emailed his ranting manifesto. Then the mother found the YouTube video in which he threatens to kill people. She alerted authorities and set off frantically with her ex-husband, Hollywood director Peter Roger. But by the time they arrived, officers confirmed their son had gone on a deadly rampage. Elliot Roger played the video game World of Warcraft, but the family never suspected he would have guns, said Astaire, who was speaking on behalf of the family. Investigators, including from Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, searched his parents' homes Sunday and left with boxes of evidence. In his videos and writings, Roger voices his contempt for everyone from his roommates to the human race, reserving special hate for two groups. The women, he says, kept him a virgin for all of his 22 years, and the men they chose instead. At least two other people who saw Roger's videos before Friday compared him to a serial killer through a message board on a bodybuilding website and the social network Reddit. The rampage played out largely as he sketched it in public postings, including a YouTube video where he sits in the BMW in sunset light and appears to be acting out scripted lines and planned laughs. "I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you," the son of the Hollywood director who worked on The Hunger Games says in the video posted Friday and taken down by YouTube Saturday with a message saying it violated the site's terms of service. Brown told CNN on Sunday that investigators are close to having a pretty clear picture of what happened. The first three killed Friday were male stabbing victims in Roger's own apartment. The Santa Barbara Sheriff's Office identified them Sunday as Xing Yang Hong, 20, George Shen, 19, both from San Jose, and Weihan Wang, 20, of Fremont. They were all UC Santa Barbara students. Hong and Shen were listed on the lease as Roger's roommates, and investigators were trying to determine whether Wang was a roommate or was visiting the night of the killings. Then at around 9:30 p.m., the shooting rampage began. Deputies found three semi-automatic handguns along with 400 unspent rounds in his black BMW. All were purchased legally. So this is a horrendous story. And I think what bothers me more than anything, the first time I read this, and every time you read something, you hear more, you know. But the fact that people were aware, and mom and dad were trying to get help. But as usual, that road, that journey, getting help, is always so slow moving. So slow moving. How many times have we talked about the sense of urgency in our world? How many times have we talked about the fact that somebody sees something is wrong and it takes forever because we've set up so many things to cover everybody else's butts that it takes six times as long as it should, maybe 10 times as long as it should, because you're trying to get every paper that you write so that your butt's covered by three other people. That's really what's happening. So when they did come and see this child or this man, if you're covert in your activities, that's one thing. if you very silently, even though the one that we talk about, the young man who went to the school and shot everybody and shot his mother and shot himself, and all the stories that followed, the father talking about he feared for his own life the whole time he lived with him and all this kind of stuff, certain people knew, but nobody alerted any outsiders. The school knew that it was a strange relationship with his mother. They only talked on emails. Again, we have all these signs. And even in this article, they talk about the giant red flags. And
I don't
by
understand
this time,
that some of his YouTube videos were taken down. So that means that there was somebody in an official capacity at YouTube. I'm confused as to why they weren't obligated to go to the authorities with
I think
something
they did.
That was
I think they did.
No, YouTube.
Even YouTube. I mean, I think everybody made, but, you know, it's done in emails. It's done in letters. It's done to cover everybody else's butts, Shell. You've got to have, you
what
know,
I'm
I just
is,
saw
is,
this. I took a YouTube video down off, and it's, you know, I'm not really supposed to do that, but I thought it was for the best of everybody, so I took it down. So then I sent a letter to my boss. My boss has to send three letters to his three bosses. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's probably what we're going to find out. I mean, they kind of tell you here that everybody got it, and therapists were involved as well.
All right, but I'm wondering if this is done by a person at YouTube, or if this is like it picks up keywords and takes things off, you know. If there's an individual, there should be a link to law enforcement where if they see something that's a potential threat to, you know, to Homeland Security, basically, that they would have to, I mean, I don't understand why the FBI wouldn't be involved in something like that. You're talking about mass murder. That, to me, that should involve the FBI. There should be a direct link between something like YouTube or social media and somebody professing to do a mass murder like this. This is something that the FBI tracks. I don't understand why there's not a direct link between somebody who's threatening to be a mass murderer and not getting the, I'm not talking the local authorities, I'm talking the FBI. FBI tracks this type of stuff. When I went on the FBI site that one time, this is one of the things the FBI follows up on. So I'm thinking that the right authorities were not involved in this. I think the FBI would have taken a much different stance than local cops.
Well, it says here, in according to Doris Fuller, executive director of the Virginia-based Treatment Advocacy Center, she got involved in this. Said California law has provisions that permit emergency psychiatric evaluations of individuals who pose a serious threat, but it was never triggered, which means that it was given to them but never acted upon. And they already had them under the care of therapists. And they also talk about the fact that when the deputies showed up at his doorstep last month to check on his mental health, they hadn't looked at the videos, but they'd been told about them. And the parents called because the parents said, we saw these videos that he did. Somebody needs to come help us. And they went, and we talked about this not very long ago. We've done so many shows about mental illness and the disconnect that happens in some people's brains for whatever reason, God knows only, is the fact that they start doing weird things. And you're right, but they don't. This whole article, and we may find out FBI was alerted, but even FBI has, you know, all these steps that they have to go through, all these different things so that everybody make sure that they're covering their own butts. And I'm sorry, but that's
very,
what it all...
Yeah, FBI is a very different protocol than general law enforcement. They're also trained very differently. So when you're talking to an FBI agent, they're actually trained in the psychology of killers and things. So they do not handle it like a street cop does.
No. I'm sure.
And that's
not.
Why it's sort of like their specialty. You know, they're taught profiling and things like that. They can tell if somebody is deceiving them by the way they move their eyes or certain facial inflections and things like that. So I don't think it's that difficult to get the FBI involved in something like this. It doesn't sound to me like they were involved. And my comment is that they should have been, that when YouTube sees a video like that, there should be a direct link from an organization as big as YouTube, direct line to FBI saying, look, this is a threat to Homeland Security. This is a potential mass murderer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, just because it doesn't mention it doesn't mean it didn't exist. And we've talked about this before when we talk about people listening, watching, paying attention to what's going on, and we've talked about the fact that a lot of people are upset about this because it infringes on your personal privacy, and it also infringes on your freedom of speech, which we're going to talk about in a couple minutes. However, I have stated, and I stand by this, that I'm okay with that, because if you're not doing anything wrong, you should be okay with it. So, but I want to know if the man living next door to me out here in the country, no less, has got firearms or is plotting because he feels that somebody wronged him somewhere, somehow, someday. And I want to know about those things. I don't want to be involved in it. I don't want to have to worry about it. I want to know that the powers that be are using all the technology we have to do to keep, or that we have today, to keep an eye on people who have had a disconnect, like this young man. So you're right, FBI should have been involved, and we will research that today and tomorrow so that Thursday I can let everybody know whether FBI was brought into this or not. It's not mentioned in this particular announcement that I found. This is from MSN News. Normally there would be. MSN News is a big affiliate, and they usually, you know, talk about everything. But it is what it is. And, of course, you're right. But even still, further down the totem pole, you have all those circles of people to go through before you get to a certain place. So therapists, parents, the YouTube videos that nobody that came from their local sheriff's office took the time to even peruse a little bit or even pull up or see anything about, these are all bad steps. These are all irresponsible steps. And I feel bad for them because they probably thought they didn't need to see the videos. They could assess him because they've been trained to do those kind of assessments. But they didn't, and they walked away. But it's just like the Lance, or whatever his name was, the one that we've talked about so many times, and the one in the movie theater, and all the other things that have happened in the past 2 years where people were obviously, I don't want to use the name deranged, but that's really what was going on. There was a disconnect, a major disconnect, and they were walking all over the place, and everybody saw it. And still,
yep,
nobody did anything.
Deranged is definitely a good word to use. There's just, like you said, it's like being completely derailed from normal human thought patterns and compassion and connectedness. You know, when you blame everybody outside of yourself for your sadness, and you're not taking responsibility for how you treat people, how you interact with people. You know, if people are uncomfortable around you, then you got to take some responsibility for that. You're making them uncomfortable because we're social creatures, you know. So figure out how to behave in a way, you know. But for people to take it out, and especially in a violent way, That's a problem that's becoming more and more prevalent in our society. It's kind of when Izzy talks about the fact that kids are actually being taught that it's not permissible for people to say unkind things to you, that if somebody says something unkind to you, you have to stand up for yourself, and sometimes standing up for yourself means being violent in return. And that's why you have so many people now saying, you know, who are you to disrespect me? And they're ready to throw down and come to fisticuffs. It's just ludicrous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The violence
mm-hmm.
among the younger people today is really out of control. And it stems from a lot of this idea that people aren't allowed being mean to you. Now, they're not allowed putting their hands on you, but people can say to you whatever they want to say to you. And that's a big issue right now where too many kids walk around thinking that it's not permissible and that they can react in any way they want to.
Well, again, that's why I thought it was I don't know, I don't want to use the name amusing because there's nothing amusing about this, but it is kind of funny that our next principle number 9 is about freedom of speech.
Right.
And like you said a few minutes ago, freedom of speech doesn't mean what everybody is taking it as meaning. And it doesn't mean that you can behave any way you want to. It means that you can speak your thoughts. It means that you can share your visions. It means that you can give your point of view. But it doesn't mean that you can be abusive. It doesn't mean that you can be a killer. It doesn't mean
right.
that you can talk about those things and follow through on them without any kind of recourse. It's a whole different thing. But
well, freedom
it
of speech really for like religious beliefs and things like that, where people
right.
could express themselves, you know, without being suppressed in any way. But unfortunately, with great privilege comes great responsibility. Just because it's legal for you to speak your mind doesn't mean you should just go out there and say every hateful, vindictive, violence-provoking thing that comes across your head. And a lot of people use the First Amendment, the Freedom of Speech Amendment, to really publicize anarchy and violence and hatred, and that's not what freedom of speech was originally put out there for. It does protect that type of publication as well, but that's not what it was there for.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's aside from shooting, stabbing some of the roommates and taking their lives. He also used the BMW to run over bicyclists.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he injured 13 more people with either gunshots or
wow.
by hitting them with the car, skateboarders and bicyclists. And I mean, it's horrible. And again, if you watch this video, for me, it was kind of chilling because he sits back
and...
Oh,
was everybody else a stranger to him or was
yes,
this a collection
yes.
of people he knew?
No, the three men in his apartment, two were roommates, one was a visitor, and
right.
And everybody else was random. But
wow.
I'm guessing, because he includes male, he's angry with females because nobody ever fell in love with them, but he's also angry at the men. He said they're the two men and women, I don't know what else is left, dogs and cats, I guess, are the ones that he hates the most because the men took all the women and the women went to different men. So that's how he sums it up in his story. So we will talk about this again. I will do some continued research about this, and we'll find out what we can. And I would like to know if I still haven't seen anything, whether the boys in Mexico are being charged and what they're being charged with. And we know that can change during the course of a trial. We learned that with my grandson. We learned that with other stories that we've covered. A lot of times even juries, judges, everybody can intervene and give their thoughts on what the punishment should be, and then it is reconsidered by the courts of law. So if they're being charged, I would think, because the young man is deceased, then it should be some kind of a serious charge, either, you know, I don't know. Is a wall a deadly weapon? I don't know what they'll charge them with, but I will keep us up to date in regard to that. But I want to read this so that we can put this into some kind of place of understanding when we talk about freedom of speech. People who live in the democracies of the world enjoy an unprecedented degree of abundance, opportunity, cultural enrichment, and safety. Though few of us realize this, it is ultimately due to freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is really freedom of thought, belief, or expression. We can only know what people think if they express those thoughts. The ultimate incarceration is enslavement of the mind, and the most basic freedom is freedom to think and believe as we wish. In the past, having innovative thoughts could be dangerous. Many people have been burned at the stake for expressing new ideas, and society advanced at a snail's pace because it could be dangerous for people to express ideas that challenged conventional beliefs. Now, we've read stories about that. We've talked about the week that we talked about mental health. We talked about the horrendous activities that used to take place in mental hospitals, in insane asylums, and the fact that once somebody was diagnosed, that they never got better, and they lived out their life there. And when people spoke out about that, many of them ended up being right beside the person they were trying to help in those insane asylums. So we have come a long way. And if we go way, way, way back, I mean, there were times when if you spoke against your leader, your king, your whoever it was, it could mean that you, you know, you really lost your head, literally.
Well, got it. There was a time that if you said the world was round and not flat, you were put to death as a heretic.
Exactly, exactly.
Now everybody knows it is round, but it was very dangerous when people started realizing that and tried to educate the rest of society. It was they were seen as heretics.
Right, exactly. And some of them were. Some of them did talk crap, and some of them did have ideas that were not right, but that's not true of all of them. A lot of people were ahead of their time. Anyway, prior to freedom of speech, people who held different opinions or beliefs considered each other to be enemies and believed they had a right to kill each other. Most current wars are still fueled by religious convictions. For leaders can take advantage of the masses' religious passions to get them to fight for them on the basis that their opponents have unacceptable beliefs. Freedom of speech recognizes that humans are intelligent beings capable of entertaining differing ideas and beliefs and still be on the same side. This allows a maximum of cooperation among people and eliminates belief-based violence. Words don't chop off people's heads, and they don't make their houses blow up. Words have the potential of hurting people's feelings, and freedom of speech means that we don't get punished for hurting people's feelings. If you say something that I don't like and I get upset, I really upset myself. Should you be punished when I upset myself? Freedom of speech is actually the constitutional version of the sticks and stones slogan. It means that we do not get punished for hurting people's feelings. We only get punished for hurting people's bodies or possessions. Freedom of speech is mandated by the Golden Rule. Just as we want to have the freedom to say what we want without getting punished, we need to let others say whatever they want, no matter how much we don't like it, and not punish them. Freedom of speech does not imply that it is moral or wise to indiscriminately say whatever we want. It just means that it is not a crime to to say these things that can hurt people's feelings. If we wish to behave morally and wisely, we need to be careful of our own words. However, it is not moral for us to punish other people for saying things that we believe are upsetting or offensive. Any limits to freedom of speech should be undertaken with great caution and reluctance. Punishing people for the things they say is usually bound to result in punishments that are greater than the crime and therefore immoral. Bullying experts want children to be punished for insulting others, but they see nothing wrong in calling people the insulting term bullies. Then he has a side note here. Freedom of speech does not protect speech that can cause objective harm to people's bodies or property or deny them liberty. We are not allowed to yell fire in a crowded theater. We are not allowed to make up lies about our colleagues and get them fired. We are not allowed to threaten violence or incite violence. Freedom of speech only protects speech that can hurt people's feelings. Okay, so that note, that section of this whole thing is about what the video was about.
Right, so, exactly.
Why it got left on, like Shelley said, why somebody, well, I mean, they did take some of them off. They did remove some of them. There are some that the parents saw that they don't see anymore. But I got to tell you, it's all over Facebook now. It's all over social media, the whole video of him sitting in the BMW and talking. And it's scary. It's really scary to see this young man, handsome young man.
Right, taking it down, taking it off YouTube was insufficient. If they didn't do it, just the video down didn't protect anybody.
Of course, of course. All it did was hide the fact that there was somebody dangerous out there. That's
right.
All it did.
Right.
But the fact of the matter still remains that they did exercise the proof that when you're threatening and when you're doing something like what he was doing, that is not exercising your freedom of speech. That
right.
is abusing, you know, what you're doing. Researchers are trying so hard to find the solution to bullying. This seminar will be showing the solution has been with us all the time. Freedom of speech is the solution to verbal bullying. Unfortunately, we are today eradicating freedom of speech in our anti-bullying laws. We are making it a crime to say anything that anyone might find upsetting. Instead of promoting freedom of speech, we are trying to get rid of it because we no longer study what freedom of speech really means. And I agree with that. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's what you and I are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say that education is the highest form of charity. I would like to finish this chapter, so I'm gonna go through this so that everybody gets what it is he's trying to say. And again, the education of everything we do. If, like Shelley said, if the sheriff's department, if the people that were giving therapy to this young man had really, really, really been properly trained. I'm sorry, and I hate to make this kind of a judgment call from so many million miles away, but somebody should have been doing something, let's face it. The parents, as usual, are at the bottom of that totem pole. They don't have the resources nor the rights nor anything to step up and search their son's, their 22-year-old son's house, to go online and see everything that he's doing. I mean, the things that we watch on Criminal Minds all the time, they don't have those resources. But like Shell says, the FBI is supposed to have those resources. And the minute something like this was alerted to anybody, that's what should have been done immediately, and this could have been derailed. It really could have been derailed. And, of course, now the people that lost six loved ones get to know that, hear that time and again, probably in the weeks to come, and have the pain that comes with that. He talks about education in the highest form, and he says, give a man a fish, you have fed him for today. Teach a man to fish, and you have fed him for a lifetime. This saying has been attributed to many people, but the true source is probably unknown. However, it reflects the universal wisdom that the best way to help a person is to teach them to help themselves. The following related saying is by that very wise U.S. President, Abraham Lincoln. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. Amen. This is an inverse of the fish saying. If people are capable of fishing, they are not we are not helping them if you always give them fish. In fact, we are hurting them. We are preventing them from being independent and responsible. We are also depriving them of the sense of fulfillment that comes from developing their skills and taking care of themselves. When we see children being treated badly by other kids, we feel sorry for them and we want to help. So we get involved and we try to protect them from each other and solve their problems for them. And we often find ourselves doing it over and over and over again with the same kids. But we are not really helping them. We are hurting them. We are preventing them from learning to solve their problems on their own. Unfortunately, this ancient wisdom has been lost on our modern mental health professionals and educators who believe that we have to defend victims from the bullies because they are not able to defend themselves. The truth is that getting people to stop bullying, you simply, let me do that again. The truth is that getting people to stop bullying you is simple once you know the rules. With the exception of people with serious neurological or emotional difficulties, we all can learn to do this, and we should. Regrettably, most adults, including most bullying experts, don't know the rules, so they can't teach them to children. Instead, they encourage children to tell us who are supposed to protect them from each other and punish them who upsets the kids. Such behavior is immoral. Instead, we should be teaching children to understand how the golden rule works so they can solve their problems on their own and turn their enemies into friends. So this whole page, now I got to know Izzy Kalman pretty good. Lots of conversations with him on the phone. I've met with him personally. I took his seminar. For me, these words are golden.
Yes.
For me, this is really, really, really what it's all about. It's what it's about with us as adults, with relationships, whether you're talking about your mother, your brother, your husband, your wife, your best friend, your worst friend, your colleague, whoever you're talking about. These words could not be any truer. They could not be any truer. So if we equate what I just read from Izzy to the scenario with this young man, one of the things he says is that if you realize that there is something going on, with the exception of people with serious neurological or emotional difficulties, that puts that person in another category. To just pretend like saying I'm going to enjoy, one of his statements in the video is, I will enjoy doing this, killing the people who don't care about me. I will enjoy it. The young man from the school, same kind of talk. This is going to make me feel good because you have all wronged me. So you see that there's a disconnect. And if you're a trained professional, you should be stepping up. When you talk about incarceration, when you talk about putting somebody in an institution, when you talk about all the different things that we've all learned about that we don't like, you know, that hurts us, it's still the first step, right? It doesn't mean, like the old days, that somebody stays there forever. Our hope, of course, is that we can reconnect the disconnect. Our hope is that we can establish some kind of an understanding with this person so that they can live a fulfilling life. It's not about ostracizing them and taking them out of their life forever. That's what it used to be. It shouldn't be that anymore. We have lots of technology now. We have lots of things that can help these people. But somebody has to be smart enough to say, look, this person's really in trouble. This isn't funny. This isn't amusing. I'm not going to get on the computer today and see what kind of a YouTube video this guy posted today, because this is just, you know, this is unbelievable. You can't do that anymore.
There are certain types of pathologies, psychiatric pathologies, that I don't know that we do have cures for. When you're talking about someone who's a serial killer, or like what was the issue with this man, there are certain types of sociopathic diagnoses that we don't understand, and we don't know how to reverse. Those type of people, once it's been recognized, a lot of times they do have to be institutionalized, and that's part of the problem here, is because nobody wants to make it that permanent. But there are some of these emotional disorders that, you know, you're talking somebody who has that serial killer mentality, which is kind of what we're talking about here. I mean, this he just wanted to take out random people. That's not bullying, and that's when Izzy Kalman said, you know, this is, you know, you can't reason with somebody like that. This has to be recognized as a crisis, and more people are starting to have this type of pathology. I wonder why that would be. I wonder why there's so much of it, why it's so prevalent in our society today. What's gone wrong? What's happening that so many people are having these serious brain dysfunctions, and more so than ever before in history, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, so what is going on with that? Is it because we've seen so much of it? I mean, we hear the jargon, a show that I watched many times. It's a Law and Order segment about a young boy who has murdered schoolmates, or has organized the hurting of another child and stuff like that, and they sit and talk, the powers that be, and they say, this is the mind of a sociopath. And I watched a show one time on, I don't know, 60 Minutes, one of those kind of shows that are supposed to be true facts, nothing about a storyline like Law and Order or Criminal Minds or one of those. It was supposed to be true facts. And they talked about the difference in a person's brain who's a sociopath. And they talked about the fact that they can almost tell now in the different lobes of the brain if somebody is not going to have complete connection up there. So
wow.
They are working, I guess, the way I understood it in my uneducated understanding, that they're working on trying to figure out if there is a way to reconnect those disconnects. But so far there is not. So if you have somebody...
Oh.
Yeah, but okay, so now who draws the line, Shell? Who draws the line between an out-and-out murderer, somebody who just took the life for the thrill of taking the life, and a person that was born a sociopath? So now... Who decides what happens with that situation? Who makes the final call on, okay, because you were born this way, it's disabled, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's the same person. I don't think you can be an out-and-out murderer unless you are a sociopath. I think that disconnect has to be there in order to be a murderer.
I don't think that's what they believe. I would think you're right, but I don't. I really don't think that's what they believe. I think that they believe that there are attributing factors. Well, a lot of times, crimes of passion, things like that. Crimes of passion. Exactly. But it's still a murderer. It's still somebody who's pissed off because something is happening to them. We're out of time. We have to sign off for today. But this is quite a convoluted arena. So I will make a promise that I will do some research before Thursday, and tomorrow we'll do a health show. But I will be back tomorrow morning. I hope everybody will join us. Go out and have a great day, everybody. But Shell and I'll be back in the morning, and we'll talk about some healthy things instead of all this scary stuff. Go out and have a great day. God bless everybody. Thanks, Shell.
Thanks, Reen. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Bye-bye.